So this Sunday is the 4th of July, and this Sunday is also a Sunday, and it brings two things together, church and state. And this is a slippery slope for many pastors. And it's scary, at least it is for me. So before I get into my sermon, I want to tell you the story of another slippery slope that was very scary. This happened to Sarah and I and our 5-year-old daughter, Emily. This happened 28 years ago. We were camping in the Sierra Nevadas, and we were looking on these trail maps, and we were certain that that peak over there had a very easy trail, according to the map, that we could walk up and back in about 2 hours. No big deal. We were certain of it. And so we took about a half a bottle of water and no food and no sunscreen. And you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, we were going to walk up for an hour and walk back. It was going to be great. 3 hours later, we got to the top in the hot sun because it's California in the summertime, and it was like 8,000-9,000 feet. And we realized that there was no trail going down the other side. We also realized it took us 3 times longer to get there than we thought. And we realized we had half a bottle of water and no sunscreen. And we realized we were in trouble. Because there actually wasn't a trail on the other side. We had misread the map. And as far as spending 3 hours going back down, that was way too long for us to be walking without shade, sunscreen, or water. So we were scared. Now, our daughter, Emily, who was 5, had no understanding of what was going on. We kept that from her. And we realized that the only way that we could be saved, the only path forward, was to go straight down, to literally jump off the side of the mountain. You see, it was a mountain, and the side of this mountain had been a mining place, and so there was slag and gravel and rocks and some small scrubby manzanita bushes we don't want to ever mess with, and some skinny pine trees. And the only thing we could do once we got there was go down, straight down, which we did. We slid on our soles of our heels and the bottoms of our pants. And I held Emily in one hand while I slid and reached for manzanita bushes to keep me from going further. And then I handed her off to Sarah, and Sarah slid until she reached another manzanita bush and held on to that. It took us about 30 minutes of sliding on our soles to get down. Well, we did. And we survived. Which is how I feel this morning. So, it is Sunday, it is July 4th, we are in the house of the Lord, and it's also the day that we celebrate America's birthday. And we have a lot to be thankful for. Number one, we are children of God. We are citizens of a nation that's even greater than America. We are citizens of God's kingdom. And before we forget this, wrapped up in our 4th of July celebrations, Paul reminds us in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, 19 and 20, consequently, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people. And you are all members of his household. So what is a pastor to do? Dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Let me lift up the magnificence of your creation, the blessings of this country that you have given to this country, and the word of Jesus. And let me do justice to all of these as we live our lives as Jesus directed us to live. Amen. So let's go back to the beginning. The Pledge of Allegiance, everybody knows that, right? One nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Well, that was only written 1892. Before 1892, there was no Pledge of Allegiance. And in 1892, the original words were, I pledge allegiance to my flag and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, okay, and 30, 40 years later, somebody said, wait a minute, where's America in this? So they added the words, to the flag of the United States of America, to the Pledge of Allegiance. That happened in 1923. And that was great. And some of the members of this congregation went to school, in elementary school, saying that pledge. And it was that way until the 1950s. In the 1950s, the U.S. was in a political situation with the Soviet Union, we now say Russia. And the Soviet Union was flexing its muscles. And so politicians felt we needed to set ourselves apart from the godless communists. And so politicians decided to put the words "one nation under God" into our Pledge of Allegiance. Now, nothing wrong with that. But a lot of us that learned the original 1923 version had to relearn it again in the 50s. So it stands as it does today. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. But as I prepared this sermon, I had to ask myself some hard questions. You see, I had to ask ourselves, do the words that we say connect us or do they separate us? I mean, if we say we are one nation under God, okay, which God? That's a serious question. I was looking at pastors' sermons this week, and pastors were saying, we are one nation under a Christian God. This nation is a Christian nation. It's under a Christian God, founded by Christians, Christian God, etc., etc., etc. But it made me wonder. Because if we honor a Christian God, no problem there. The Christian God does not have room for the Holy Spirit or the Father. The Jewish people honored Yahweh. They did not honor Jesus as God. And if you really want to get into the definition of Christian, that is Jesus. God the Father, Holy Spirit, they're not necessarily part of that equation. So what are we supposed to do with that one? But only about 62% of the people in this country are Catholic or Christian. Curiously, the internet divides Protestants from Catholics. For some reason, I don't know why, but we're basically in the same ballpark. And that's about 62%. But what do we do with the other 38% of the people in this country? If we are a Christian nation under a Christian God, what about Jewish people? Okay. What about Muslims and, you know, Indians and Hindus and atheists and agnostics? That's 38% of our population. So Paul, again, gives us an answer, because Paul says in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor male or female, because you are all one in Christ Jesus. Okay, so that's part of our dilemma. We're all one under God, not necessarily Christian God, but God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But what if we can solve this dilemma by going to the words of John the Apostle? Because in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, you know this, he wrote, God is... Are you waiting for the word Christian? You're not going to find it. All-powerful, almighty, you're not going to find that either. John made it real simple. God is love. And whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And so maybe we want to consider on this 4th of July, the birthday of our country, that we are, yes, one nation under God, but maybe mentally we can make a note that we are one nation under love. Because that's really what God is, love. And if we are one nation under love, and there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, then we are all embraced by God in this country. And then this country, which has been called the great melting pot, is also being embraced under the love of God. So that was one thing I thought about as I was trying to work through this. You see, we have to ask ourselves, do our words connect us or do our words separate us? Let's go to another part of our Pledge of Allegiance. indivisible. But again, I have to ask the question, are we truly indivisible? And I ask that question because no matter where you go, you can't help but notice that our culture and our media, yeah, I'm talking to you, Internet, you guys, they're working to divide us. You realize that a majority of one political party believes that our last election was illegitimate? And a majority of one political party believes our last president was incompetent? And a majority of one political party believes the president before that was an illegal? And a majority of one political party believes that our president before that was immoral? How is this indivisible? 40% of the people in this country are not getting vaccinated because they don't believe that the vaccine is anything but a hoax. 62% of us favor a federal minimum wage law, but 38% have kept that from happening. And here's 89% of us favor background checks for gun purchases, but 11% of us have kept that from happening. We are not necessarily indivisible. That's a conundrum we have to solve, and we need to pray about how we solve that. Yeah, our media divides us, and I'll tell you why they divide us. They don't divide us to make America great. They divide us because there's profit in dividing people. There's merchandise sales in dividing people. There's ratings in dividing people. And I wish that wasn't so. So we have to work on that indivisible. Because if we are all under God's love, we are truly indivisible under God's love. So, do our words connect us or separate us? Here's another conundrum. Our Pledge of Allegiance says, with liberty and justice for all. Liberty and justice for all. But then you gotta wonder who the all refers to. This past year, we've had demonstration after demonstration of different opinions on either side, and those people demonstrating on either side did not feel they were getting liberty and justice for all. That's why they were demonstrating. You know, it used to be the American dream was home ownership. Everybody owned a home. In 2017, they did a study. White home ownership was 72%, but black home ownership was 42%. Where was the liberty and justice for all then? And I just did not believe this, but in 2016, the net worth of a typical white family was 10 times more than the net worth of a typical black family. And to give you the specifics, $171,000 of net worth in white families and $17,000 of net worth in black families. We don't often think about this, and it's much easier to say the Pledge of Allegiance and go through those words and say, yeah. But we got work to do to be one nation under God's love. David Grusky, who was the Center for Poverty and Equality director, had this very succinct phrase, a distinctly American commitment. Right? The American commitment here is that when the race begins, in other words, at birth, everyone should be lined up at the same starting place. But that commitment is not being honored. We don't even come close to living up to what we claim matters to us. And the numbers bear it out. So what does a pastor do on July 4th, America's birthday? I mean, I want to celebrate with cake. Well, ice cream. Okay, not so much the cake, but ice cream. But we as a country under God have work to do, so we live into God's call for us. You know, it's a cliche that people say, well, I'm covering myself in the flag. I'm dressing in patriotism. And nothing wrong with that. But perhaps as a nation under God, the God of love. Remember several weeks ago I talked about putting on Christ, clothing ourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love. If that was in the forefront of our actions every day, would our country be as divided as it is? I don't have a definite answer, but it's worth working on. Patience, kindness, humility, compassion, forgiveness, gentleness, and love. You see, what this comes down to is my closing words from last Sunday. Last Sunday, my closing words, I quoted Verna Dozier, who wrote a book, The Dream of God, and she said, the important question is not, what do you believe, but what difference does what you believe make? And that is the question we have to ask ourselves as we celebrate our birthday as a nation. If we are one nation, indivisible, liberty and justice for all under God, what difference does that make in the way we live our lives? In the way we love one another and extend compassion, patience, humility, kindness, gentleness, love, and forgiveness. I found an English pastor. He's working in California. And you know, sometimes it takes somebody from a different country to give you the perspective on your own. His name is Tom Walker. Here's what he said. We must constantly remind ourselves and everyone around us that because of Jesus, we are made for much more than the divisions placed in front of us at this moment. Through reconciliation and renewal in Jesus, only then can we truly become one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. So, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, I spent time last week talking about how you put your beliefs into action. But we can't just do that in the past. We have to do that every day going forward, or these words on a page just are simply words on a page. The challenge of the Pledge of Allegiance is we have to live into it every day. The challenge of being a follower of Jesus is we have to live into his teachings every day. But we have hope along the way. Because St. Paul also tells us in his letter to the Romans in chapter 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope and love by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are one nation under a triune God. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, and those three persons in one God live together in a loving community. And they are constantly reaching out to us to draw us into that love, so by their love overflowing in us, we can bring the love of God to everyone in this country. We can celebrate this 4th of July by recommitting to bringing God's love and grace and peace into our world. So we are not a country of division, but a country of divinity, of God's love. Am I down the mountain yet? I believe I am. So thank you for listening and hearing that. And thank you for opening your hearts and your love to this church and to each other in fellowship. And we give thanks and praise for all of these blessings on our country, on our lives, on our families, on this community. In every way, we remember that Christ died for us, Christ is risen for us, and Christ will come again for us. Amen.